Welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we got an exciting show for you today. It's St. Patrick's Day, so it should be good. We all got our beers here in the studio, so it's never too early. Everyone's Irish today. In the studio with me, we have, later in the show, we'll be talking with Larry Myricks, Executive Director of Corporate Challenge Network, and Dr. Richard Lepowski, President and CEO of Dental Specialists of America. But first up on High Velocity Radio, we have George Ishii. He's the owner of Millionaires by George. And George, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me a little bit about this. I think everyone wants to be a millionaire. I think when you ask anyone, what's your goal in life, they say, well, I want to be a millionaire. So tell us about what you do.
Well, we started this website, this idea that people, you know, struggle with money. And so we created this new model that takes an old concept of finding a penny. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's found a penny, and you ask them what they do with it, and they go, well, I put it on my dresser, or put it in my pocket, whatever. But they never were able to do anything with it. And it's funny, if you take the math and you just double a penny 28 times, that equals $1,342,000 and some change in only 28 steps. So what we did, we developed a program to guide people through how to do it, and it's a very, very simple concept. If you find a penny, what you do, you log onto your account on our website, and then you type in, here's what I did, and then that locks that answer into that stage. And then what we do for you helping to contribute and pay it forward, then we open up for you the next step of what everybody ahead of you did to answer the question you're about to do. So we ask a question, say, if I gave you a 28-question quiz, but I gave you the answer to each question before you had to answer it, could you pass?
Yeah, I could definitely pass.
So that's the concept. And, you know, it's not an overnight thing, but it's something you can do part-time, and it just guides you through. And the more and more people that register, I mean, you know, hundreds of thousands of answers will be populating. Just choose one and say, well, I can do that, and go do it. So
exactly. So it's basically 28 steps, sort of just a path line to being able to make this $1 million, this first million.
It is. And what's interesting about it is the fact that 10 steps into it, you're only to $5. But people laugh, because what that does, though, that psychologically re-scripts your brain about money, because how is a belief formed? A belief is formed by you hearing something or experience something over and over and over again till it gets into your heart and it becomes a belief. So how hard would it be, Kevin, for you to double from a penny to 2 cents? Pretty easy, right?
It's really easy.
How about 2 to 4 cents?
Easy,
4 to 8. By the time you get to step 10, your brain will no longer believe that I can't double my money. That doesn't matter at any level on. It'll know it can double because it just did it 9 times in a row. Mm-hmm. So it subconsciously changed your belief. Now you shift to, how do I do it?
Exactly.
And that's what our software does. It shows you the how.
Well, I absolutely love that, too, because when you think about it, if you told me, well, you have $5 in your pocket, you'd say, yeah, everyone has $5 in their pocket. Well, turn that into a million. Well, you're like, well, I can't do that. It's impossible. But then if you tell me you're on step 10, you only have 18 more to do, that seems a lot more doable to me right there anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. And your brain, you know, it starts to become fun, and then what you do is you build a partner up and you start competing against them. You turn it into competition. We've already got people doing that. We've just launched it, so it's growing, and we're going to take it worldwide. And the amazing thing about it is we're only charging $5 a month.
$5 a month.
$5 a month. So it's not about the money. We almost made it free, but we found out that if you don't have any skin in the game, then they don't take it seriously. Right.
Exactly.
So we charge them a whopping $5. So, you know, if it takes you 4 years to complete it, and we've mapped out a 4-year plan that you could do part-time, anybody could do, and that would cost you an investment over 4 years, financed at $5 a month, $240 to learn how to make and keep over $1 million.
Well, yeah, and it really is the mindset. And I think if they've broken it down statistically, they've looked at how millionaires think versus everyone else. And it's very simple little changes, but it's all about the process and sticking to a plan.
Yeah, if you knew how to do it, you'd do it.
Definitely.
And so that's what we do. We give them the how, and then we also send them reminders and things like that to keep them on track. That's what it is.
So how's this been going for you? Have you seen a really good response so far, or are you still in beta testing, or where are you in the process?
Well, we've just launched it, and we now have a couple hundred subscribers to it, and people are growing and adding and are having fun with it. And we've actually had some grandparents that have bought yearly subscriptions for their kids to play with them and teach them about money. Wow, how's that for a great gift to teach your children about money? So when they grow up, they're not in debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have a child doing it. And it's all about, you think about general business. Really what it is, it's about buying low and selling high. So that's what this is really teaching, is to buy something low and sell it for more than you got it from. And, you know, you can look at things like, somebody says, well, you know, how do you go from $5 to $10? And I said, if you knew, it'd be easy. So here's an example, one of our answers in the system. If you go to this weekend, go to a trade show, I mean, to a yard sale, find something you know you could sell for 10 bucks and offer them five. They go, wow. They go, all right, well, how would you go from 80,000 to 160,000? Well, one of the answers in our file right now is, if you had $80,000, I'd go in Atlanta and find the number one realtor in Atlanta. You think you could do that on Google in about 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Then you go tell them and say, I've got $80,000. I'm gonna buy two homes to renovate at $40,000 a piece. I'm putting $20,000 down, $18,000 renovations, and $2,000 commission for you. Go. I got to go back to the radio station, work. Now they go find that. Then when they find the homes, you buy them, and then you do the same model. You find the top contractors. You say, I got $18,000 per house, $15,000 for renovation, $3,000 for you. Go. I got to go back on air.
All right, so that all sounds great, but right now you have a good amount of users, but soon this seems like it's going to blow up. People are going to flock to it. There's going to be hundreds and thousands of different answers for these things. How do you vet them to make sure people aren't giving bad advice?
Well, when they submit their answer, we do screen them before we approve them, so we're not getting garbage and, you know, foul language or anything like that in there. So they are, every answer is screened to make sure it's a legitimate answer. If it's not, then we just block it out.
And can people sort of like give it a thumbs up saying, wow, I tried this and it really worked, and so they can sort of vet it out. So later down the road, if someone signs up, let's say I go there and I'm like, okay, well, I want to turn 80,000 into 160, and then I can just sort the answers, and it's like on a Yahoo's best answer, it says, this is the best answer, this is the thing that's been most successful for people.
Well, right now it's got the ability, they can actually create a chat about that and say, well, I did this for 80,000, and say, well, tell me more about it. You know, what were the things you ran against you? So it actually creates like a mini blog inside of each answer so people can communicate and read through it. So we don't have the software doing what you're saying, but that's obviously something we could do down the road very easily.
Okay. So what's the bigger picture, your overall plan? This is a great start, or this is where it's going to end. Where are you guys going in the next couple of years with this thing?
Well, it's we want to take it worldwide and just make it so, you know, it's kind of like a give back.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, at $5 a month, we're not all getting rich off of that. That's not the concept. Mm-hmm. Concept is to help those people who will break through, and we're even going to offer for corporations and events that we can offer, you know, yearly subscriptions like scholarships for those that couldn't afford $5. So
definitely,
that can be done worldwide, you know, in Africa, whatever. As long as they have access to the internet, they can play.
Well, I could think also having a college to separate themselves away from other people, saying them signing up for it to let their students use it, just to give them that kind of base. Because, you know, when you move off to college, kids nowadays, are they're leaving their house and parents are more overprotective. They get out to college and kids have no idea how to manage money or really do anything. They've been focusing on homework and doing that, but I think that would be a huge help to them.
Yeah, and it's where it's really kind of our initial target is adults that are struggling financially. Because they don't have to. Yeah, you know, I start playing the game myself, and I'm on step 16 myself.
So you're eating your own cooking.
Absolutely, you know. And when we make that first millionaire, that's when it's going to explode worldwide.
Definitely.
People. So we're looking for the early adopters that say, hey, you know, for $5 a month, I'm going for it. I'm going to break through my financial struggles in life and get through them. So, and then we'll have a second wave when we hit the first couple millionaires. Then everybody's going to go, this is, you know, idiot proof.
Definitely. Well, it's funny. We do have a lot of millionaires, successful people, CEOs coming through the studio that I interview on a daily basis. And they always say about the same things. But the best thing they say is, I ask them, well, how are you so successful? They go, well, I make sure I'm not the smartest person in the room. And you guys are sort of doing that with your program. You're saying, all right, let's sign up, and I'm not going to be the smartest person in the room, but I'm going to take the best advice, and I'm going to use it the best.
Well, it's kind of like if Donald Trump, you know, how can Donald Trump go from a billionaire down to a cheap, lousy millionaire, but right back to a billionaire?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason is he's been there, done that, formed the belief. And all of us, if we went back to high school now, would it be easy? Or grade
yeah.
school, be easy? Well, we've got those same references that we can go back to. We're just creating, kind of borrowing the references from other people. And if Donald Trump told you exactly how to do it and who to talk to and how to do it, you could probably do it yourself too. So it's really taking that fundamental sharing of knowledge and creating your belief to make it happen. So Anybody can do it. I mean, when you think about it, it just makes common sense.
So how are you guys really getting the word out and letting people know about it? Are you letting it organically grow?
It's going organically right now, and then we'll phase it into launching. We're starting to get on, you know, radio stations and get the word out. And we believe that people will, you know, start to play and just gravitate to it, because there's nothing like it out there that's guiding people through how to become financially successful that's affordable.
Definitely. All right. Well, what's the overall plan? When's the first millionaire supposed to roll out?
Well, that depends on how fast they go. You know, if you map it out to 4 years, you can do it faster or slower. You can do it in 2 years. But if you think about it, compared to college, I get them in a mental state of 4 years. You go to college, you spend $100,000 or $200,000 to go to college, and then you start making your first penny.
Mm-hmm.
With this model, you can do it part-time and get there and invest $240 and walk away with over $1.3 million. At that point, you could donate it and start all over.
And that'll probably pay. Parents would love that. They'd pay for their kids' college if they started early enough.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So the funny part is, 20 steps into it, you're only to $5,000. So all the knowledge is learned into making $5,000. That's your training. And then you just double it 8 more times, and that's where it goes.
Well, I love that. Most places, you have to pay $5,000 to get the training. And then here, you're like, oh, pay me a little bit of money, and I'll work your way up to $5,000, and you're trained. You have $5,000 in your pocket. You have this mindset to go on and be more successful.
Yeah, and see, the key is you don't use your own money. You have to find a penny. Somebody's just thrown your wealth on the ground, waiting for you to pick it up and do something with it. So this is kind of a breakthrough concept for people, and we're having fun with it.
Definitely. Well, how do people get started with this? Where do they go, and how do they sign up?
They just go to millionairesbygeorge.com. That's millionairesbygeorge.com, and I'm George. And they watch a little video and click on it and sign up, and they can even look at some of the answers, how people found their first penny, and then they get an account, and they just log on every time they hit a step. They add their step in to help people coming behind them, and then we open up and show them at each step all the answers to the people ahead of them. Real simple.
Well, I love that. We're going to have you back on once you guys hit your first millionaire so we can break the news to everybody. So, well, I wish you the best. I love this concept. I might go on there later and tell some of my friends about it and check it out.
That's the idea. Appreciate you doing that. Thanks.
No problem. Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Dr. Richard Lepowski with Dental Specialist of America. And I didn't butcher your last name too bad, did I?
No, not too bad. I have it down pat myself, too.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the Dental Specialist of America.
Well, I'm a maxillofacial surgeon. I've been practicing for almost 40 years now. But the practices and the trends in dentistry and in medicine have been changing. So what we started doing probably about 10, 15 years ago was looking at practices and looking at how much they refer out versus how much we could actually capture and bring back into the practice. So basically what we're doing, we're saying we're creating profit centers in small to medium-sized group practices. And this is money that's just going out the door for them. But the idea is that practices today are under a lot of pressure from third parties that are reducing their fees to trends in the way patients come to the practices. And patients don't have a lot of discretionary dollars that they used to have before.
Definitely.
So those aspects are putting pressure on the practices. Young people getting out into the professions have huge amount of educational debt. So all these things, if you look at the business side of a practice, they're putting pressure on the practice itself. So we look at this and we say, well, look, you know, there are profit centers in your practice that we can help you with, and this happens to be one. So we look at what they're referring out, and we say, okay, let's see if we can bring that in-house. So we actually set up the whole surgery centers in my particular specialty, set up the whole specialty center right in their practice.
Okay, so you go in, you analyze their practice, and you say, well, how can we make this more of a one-stop shop? Because that would be more, users would want to come and use that if they could come to one dentist's office and have everything done there and not have to go out other places.
That's correct. There are some real advantages of that to the patient. The patients are in a very comfortable environment. From the professional side, I love it because I'm able to collaborate with the referring doctor one-on-one right then. We're not dealing telephone tag back and forth from his office to my office. We're in the same facility. So we're sitting down with the patient and with the specialist and the referring doctor, developing a treatment plan that everybody understands. So you give all the options to the patients. So it's a true advantage to the patient. from the, you know, the patients are in a familiar environment. The doctors are right there. They can fire all the questions. They don't I don't know how many times I've asked the patient in traditional practice when I had my private practice, why did Dr. Jones refer you here? And they said, I don't know. He just said, go to your office. And
exactly.
So here, everybody's together collaborating. So the treatment plans are really much better for that patient.
Well, also, and for the patient, too, it just makes them feel more comfortable, because I know there is a feeling when you get referred to another doctor, and that you, once you've been passed around a couple times, you feel like, well, all they're doing, I'm going here, I'm paying the money for them to send me to someone else, and paying more money, and it's wasting their time, and it also doesn't make them feel like they're getting that quality service.
Well, yeah, but the idea is you got to look at the welfare of that patient. And if you can sit down, let's turn it around. Let's say at the end of the day, if I can go home and say I helped somebody, mm-hmm. that makes it worthwhile for
definitely.
Me. In my situation and what we do, we help two people. Number one, we help the patient, but we're also helping the doctor in his practice, because we're creating a profit center in his practice, making him more sustainable. Trends in practices today are such that the practices that are the single solo practitioners are under a lot of pressure, and they're actually giving up their practices to the large groups, whether they're the hospital-based practices or whether they're large management practices. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have the small practices that can't handle the business side that are going to the hospital yeah. environments, but then you have that group in between that run a pretty good business in their practice. And those are the ones then that we can really help. We're not in a survival mode. We're not in yeah. a position to help a practice that's
barely making it.
But the practice that already has some pretty good business thinking and principles that they're applying to the practice, we can help them grow exponentially.
Definitely. Well, walk me through sort of that engagement, how you get those people and how you help them grow their business. How does that work?
Well, we've written the metrics now as to what are the elements of a successful practice. So we look at things like how many new patients they have coming into their practice, what are the fee schedules in that practice, the types of procedures that are being performed in that practice, how much they're literally referring out at this particular point in time. We look at the business IQ of the doctor. You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, that's not one of the things that are taught in the medical schools and dental schools is the business of practice. And most doctors get into business to help their patients, and they defer many of the business decisions to their staff or to consultants. And we want to make sure that they have a good business IQ, because this is a business principle that we're involved mm-hmm. with these patients.
You're helping them maybe double their business.
In many cases, practices on the dental side that are doing, say, $1.2 million a year, they're referring out $300,000 to $400,000 a year right out the door.
Wow.
So this is something then that we can help them to be a more solid practice.
So do you help them just get the equipment in there? Do you help them find the doctors to move into the space also to do this kind of stuff?
Yeah, we do everything. What we do, once we determine that they've met those different metrics, then the next step is to set up the whole facility for them. And it's a facility within their practice so that we can deliver whatever that specialty care. But we bring in the equipment. We bring the doctors. All our surgery teams are made up of the surgeon and anesthesia team and the surgery assistants. All that comes into the practice. And if they only need the team one day a week, well, then that's their one day a week. Most practices, if they were big enough to need a surgeon 4 days a week, then they would hire the surgeon. But there's that in between, that group that are not yeah. big enough to hire the surgeon, but could use them one day a week. And that's the niche.
Definitely. Well, how are you guys going out there, getting the word out about what you're doing, and also how are you finding these surgeons?
Well, surgeons, that's a whole business metric, because many of the surgeons now depend on their referral base to the practices that can't afford a surgeon. Mm-hmm. So those practices now are the ones that are under pressure that are now moving to the big chains, and those chains can hire surgeons. So the okay. surgeons are under pressure. So from my side, I've been in education. I've taught surgeons, so I have connections in those areas. And then just going out and reaching out to surgeons, that have been in practice for 5 to 10 years who are starting to see that pressure of their practice, the revenue's going down, and saying, okay, we'll put you in an environment where you can spend time, where you can enjoy your patients, you can help the people, and make a living for your family too. So
you've also been working. You just finished writing a book also. You have 50,
right.
You're 50 years of experience. You've put it into a book, and now you're helping people. Tell me a little bit about that.
The book is kind of it's somewhat autobiographical, but I've been in business for many years. My first business was in the aircraft manufacturing business at
okay.
age 8, and that was making model airplanes and trying to sell them to somebody else that would buy them.
I love that.
But the thing is, I wrote this book. It's called It's Not What I Know, It's How I Learned It. And it's all the different businesses, because in business, you're not a failure unless you quit. And the key thing then is to always learn something from every little business,
yeah,
every little thing that you're in. So all the businesses I've been, have been businesses that I either was successful, moderately successful, unsuccessful, but I learned from every one. And that's the message I want to get out to the entrepreneur, to anyone who is thinking about starting a business, to go for it. And don't see obstacles as barriers. See obstacles as just a detour. And you just go around it and you keep going. Because many people, they want to start a business and then they think of all the reasons why it won't work. And you got to think about all the reasons why it will work, and then go for it. And as I say, don't let an obstacle be a barrier. Just go out and do it. Learn whatever you have to do to be successful. Surround yourself with successful people, and then empower those people to do the things they need to do.
I love that right there. And I also love anyone that writes a book that's like, here's my scar tissue, here's the mistakes I made and what I learned from them, so other people can avoid that and sort of fast-track that process.
Yeah, so it's not what I know, it's how I learned it.
How can they find the book? Is it on Amazon?
It's going to be released. It's actually about 1 week from the major release. It'll be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It'll be on our site. My site is creativeprofitcenter.com, creativeprofitcenter.com. Or you can type in, it's not what I know, it's how I learned it, and it'll pop right up for you.
So what else are you doing? I mean, you're helping the dentist industry. Have you done all these different things? You're writing a book. What's next?
Well, probably another book, probably saying, when are you going to slow down and not write any more books or something? I love business, and I love to see people succeed. And, the tough things that I see are so many people that have dreams and don't pursue them. Young people that I sit with young people sometimes and say, how do you see yourself 5 years from now? And they have no clue. College students, young people in college, you're in college for 2 years. What are you going to do with that, whatever major they've taken? Oh, I don't know. I'll just see when I get out. That's perfect for the colleges. They love that.
Oh, I know.
They're making money on it. It's hard on mom and dad, but it's worse for that student because they give up 4 years of their life, and then they don't have anything.
Exactly. And then they're trying to start. They have these ideas for companies, and I know the biggest excuse is, well, I don't have the money for that yet. I'll save that up. But the good news is I know a guy that can make you a millionaire. So
yeah, that's right. But you got to go for it. Pursue it. Don't give up on yourself. So
well, just more advice for those kids out there. How do they go do that? What's the first step of just making sure they can start down that path?
Well, the first step is to find a goal or a dream, whatever that dream is. It doesn't matter whether it's the fireman or it's the president. It doesn't matter. But you pursue that dream, and you can always change your dreams. You can always alter your course. But if you don't have a dream, you'll never have a dream come true. So you got to have the dream first. When I talk to young people and I say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't care what he says, short of a criminal or something like that. But if you're going to be a criminal, you got to be good at it too. But the idea is, whatever he chooses, you encourage him to go for that. Because he'll keep going for it, and even if he comes to that obstacle that we talked about before, that may just be a detour to get him to another direction. But he got to keep growing, keep learning. Never keep growing. I told my kids, I said, there's the three things gifts that we wanted to give them. Number one, know the difference between right and wrong, and always choose right. Number two, always be accountable for your action. Don't blame anybody else for anything that's in your life. And number three is never quit learning. And if you never quit learning, you're going to succeed. You can't help but succeed. Yeah.
I love that. Well, how do our listeners reach out to learn more? Are you looking for more surgeons? Do you want surgeons to call you up and sign up or and tell people where they can get the book again?
Well, I'm more interested in the practices.
Okay.
You know, the practices, dental practices that feel that we might be able to help them. We can go in. I can go in and do an assessment of them and help them that way. So going to creativeprofitcenter.com is a good way to go. The other area in the book is just it's on Amazon
and
Barnes and Noble, or just type in it'snotwhatiknow.com.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for being on. We're gonna have to have you back on next time you write your next book. So we'll have you on for each book afterwards.
Very good.
So
happy to do it. Thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it.
No problem. Well, last but definitely not least, we got our one and only Olympic athlete, Larry Myricks with Corporate Challenge Network. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be back.
So we love having you on every year to talk about the Corporate Challenge. Tell me how much have you guys grown in the last year, and tell our listeners again what the Corporate Challenge is, because I love what you guys do.
Okay, yeah. In a nutshell, the Corporate Challenge is a team-building event. It's great for, you know, building company pride, company morale. We basically set up tournaments. We do everything from softball, flag football, golf, all the way down to things like bowling and, you know, poker, dominoes. Companies register, the employees put the teams together, they come out and compete. Here in Atlanta, we do 23 tournaments over 5 weeks.
Wow.
And, you know, the employees win medals, gold, silver, bronze medals. At the end of the 5 weeks, we crown, you know, a company, the champion, and they get to take the trophy home. And we're having a blast with it. We did our first one in 2012. We had 10 companies that signed up. Of those, about 8 did all the events. And in 2012, we had 21 tournaments.
Wow.
Last year, we kicked it up to 23. We had 12 companies. This year, it looks like we're going to land somewhere between 12 to 15. And a really cool thing is, we do telemarketing. We do email marketing and, you know, some social media stuff. But it's kind of nice that most of the new companies that came in last year came in by word of mouth, you know, from companies who had participated previously. So, and that's awesome. That kind of advertising is better than anything we could ever do. So,
well, these companies too, they have an absolute blast. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, you'd have field day, and you like to go out there with your grade, and you wanted to beat everyone else. And that's really the mentality that these people still have. And you have an event for everyone, no matter your athletic ability or anything. And I think that's absolutely amazing for these guys, and I think they eat it up.
Yeah, we've got, we see those weekend warriors who want to go out and, you know, do the soccer and do the flag football and dodgeball. If you're not so active, we got stuff like bowling and golf,
yeah.
And I mean, we even do fishing tournaments, you know, so. And for that person who don't want to break a sweat, they can come and play spades, you know, dominoes, poker. So, yeah, there's something for everybody because not everybody's a jock. You know, somebody wants to sit back and...
Well, everyone has that special skill or game or something that they were really good at, and they don't really have that outlet anymore to
right.
do that. And they want to go out there, and like you said, weekend warrior, they want to shine, and they want to be like, oh, well, you didn't know I'm like the spades master. I'm a... So I love that.
I'll tell you the funny thing is when we began this thing, we we were kind of... marketing it from the standpoint of, you know, it's a great way to help your, you know, help your employees, you know more about each other, build a relationships and a camaraderie. And when we got these guys in those first competitions, it was so competitive. It was amazing, you know, and by the time we were done, and then in 2012, we only did 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And because we had the extra events, we kicked it out to 5 weeks for 2013. But by the time we were down toward the last week or so, they're all like, well, it's almost over. What are we going to do now?
Yeah.
You know, we got to get started for next year because now we know what kind of teams we need to put together to be more competitive. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We, sports is my background. And, you know, there's nothing better in business than finding something that you're really passionate about, that you enjoy and that you can develop a vision and other people can kind of grasp that vision, help you run with it. So yeah, we're having a ball.
Well, other than just being fun, it's team building too. And there's an ROI for these companies that sign their people up. Can you talk about that a little bit?
You know what? I think right now the way it's priced out, employees can participate for as little as like $3 an employee. If you spread out across the number of events we do, because we provide over 150 hours of team building time. You know, and I spoke to a lady last year, and they were trying to decide whether to have their guys do what we do or go out and do a 5K, you know, as a team-building activity. Now, in order to team-build, you have to talk to each other. You have to, you know, communicate with each other. And ain't a lot of communication going on in a 5K.
Not at all.
Everybody's running, trying to get there.
Well,
you know?
Not so, everyone's good at running. And
exactly.
People don't like that. People don't like 5Ks. They have to sign up for them, but there's a certain kind of person that loves 5Ks,
right.
But there's a lot of people that don't like that, and people like to play towards their strengths.
But if I put you in basketball, in dodgeball, in softball, if I put you on the poker table, if I put you in a spades table, you got to talk to the people that you're on the team with, and so there's more communication there. And so, you know, we're able to get them to come on board and do our thing just for those kind of reasons. So, yeah, they're having a ball. You know, at the same time, they're rewarding the employees who are doing their great work in their companies. You know, you know, give them a little time off early because, you know, we do our events during the week or on the weekends. And if it's not during the week, we start about 6 o'clock. So in most cases, they'll get a couple of hours off early to come to the events. And then on the weekends, you know, we're there either in the morning or in the afternoon. So, yeah.
That's building up some goodwill for their employees also.
Absolutely.
And I can also see this happening. You got Johnny over there. He's a softball champion, bringing home the gold medal for his company. And then he's got Bob in accounting, who's great at poker, and he brings home the gold medal. That brings them a little closer together. They're high-fiving. They're like, all right, we got the most gold medals for the company. We won this. It's like the Olympics.
I'll tell you a story. We had the first year, I had an HR director from one of the companies come back and tell me just about toward the end of the entire thing. She says, you know, we've been watching our employees kind of doing this whole process during the whole month. And she said, and because of what we've seen in them, we're going to now put in place a health and wellness program because we realize how much is needed. You know, and we'd have some of the employees come in to ask us because our background is sports, what can I do to start working out? How can I be more active? You know, and those kind of things are really cool because those are things that we practice and that we preach. You know, and just and to see somebody else grasp that and see the importance of it, it doesn't get a whole lot better.
Well, yeah, and it's a lot of things. A lot of people want to do it, but they just don't know how. And just having that first push again and having some structure there to be able to do it makes it a lot easier on them.
Yeah, last year... The first year it was won by a company called Investment Alliance. Last year it was won by Stars and Strikes.
Okay.
The company that was a runner-up last year was a company called PCM. And I got an email from the PCM. I mean, both those companies are back this year as well.
Of course. You got a defending champion. You got
there
the person
go.
That wants to
think. And PCM, they're about 100 employees, and I got an email from the coordinator last week, and she said they've got probably 100% increase in participation this year just because all those who didn't do it last year remember seeing all those guys and gals come back with the medals, talking about how much fun they had and all those kind of things. So, yeah, their registration by their employees for the events is way up now. They're all excited, so they're shooting for the top spot this year.
Definitely. You have a lot more companies this year, too. You're growing exponentially,
really. Yeah. You know what? Slow and steady wins the race. I mean, we'd love to see our numbers double every year, but the slow growth is not so bad because it gives us time to adjust, you know, and make things happen.
And you
make
things
right.
You can test out an event one year if it grows slow, but if it grew big, you guys would be scrambling just to make sure everything was working properly.
Right. We've had some pretty good things happen. I mean, especially for this year, we've picked up a couple of really nice partners. The Cedar College Park, they came on board this year, and the cool thing about them is they've got facilities, you know, so now we can get some of the nicer facilities, you know, in that city. Cobb County Park and Rec, they came on board as a partner this year, so we're using quite a bit of their facilities as well. So yeah, some great things are happening. We're excited. You know,
what do you guys want more of? I know you want more companies. Do you want more athletic facilities you just mentioned, or what do you guys need more of?
You know what? We'd like to have more companies signing up and registering and getting their employees involved. And yeah, we'd always love facilities. I mean, that's our biggest expense. You know, so we get partners who can provide those facilities in exchange for participation, or we work all those things out. Those are probably the biggest two things for us.
Yeah. Well, guys, you guys got to go check this out. You guys have really cool medals, too. You guys have awesome medals, which are, I think that adds a lot to it right there.
Yeah, it does. I mean, because I think about, you know, my years competing as an athlete, and, you know, I was able to get on the podium and, you know, get gold, silver, bronze medals and all those kind of things. And you think sometimes, even though it's not an Olympic medal, but just the significance of the accomplishment to get that medal. You know, because we do the medal ceremonies at the end of each tournament. So these guys, they're taking these medals back to the office the next day. and people are getting excited about it. So, yeah.
Well, and they're competing against their peers, too. This is their world. This is their little micro bubble. So this is huge for them. Being the top of their micro bubble is the best. They would never get to experience that anywhere else.
No doubt. It's all about bragging rights. They're trying to get those. So, but, yeah, it's fun. We're excited. We start on May 3rd. This year we're going to actually have an opening ceremonies down in College Park. And kind of the setup for that whole thing is we'll have all the companies march into the stadium behind their company banners. And some of the companies are having, like, contests. They're having kids of the employees, you know, come up with the designs for the banners, which is really cool.
I love that. That is really cool.
You know, because it's a family thing. Because even though the teams are made up of the employees from the companies, well, their spouses or significant others can be on their teams as well. Because we want them involved also. So, yeah, we're doing like the whole, you know, they march into the stadium. They'll do a loop around the track. We'll land on the infield. We'll do, we're hoping to get the mayor to come out and do like a little motivational speech for them this year. We'll do the national anthem. They'll do the athlete's oath. We're going to open up this year with a track and field competition, which is new. We didn't do that last year. And then we'll do our cornhole competition that day as well.
You guys have cornhole also? So you guys have everything.
Yeah, we run. It runs the gamut.
Well, what's really the most unique event that you guys have that people would not expect to be there? So, I mean, you mentioned dominoes, spades, there's cards. We got that. Cornhole to me seems...
I think it's probably cornhole, but that's the one that most people don't know. I mean, it's cornhole or it's beanbag toss. You know, we call it different things, but that's probably... I mean, because they do paintball.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys do paintball?
We do paintball as well.
Wow. Yeah. All right, see, I didn't even know about that. See, I think that's amazing. You got really something for everybody. You got for the tailgaters, the guy at the tailgate. If you told them, well, we have cornhole, well, I'm really good at cornhole. I could win that championship.
You may need to go to my website.
Definitely.
Take a look.
I think everyone needs to go to your website and take a look. Well... are you still allowing companies to sign up, or is it too late for this year? Or
no, registration is still open. We have, I think we shut it down the 12th of April. So there's still time to get it in. We've actually migrated the entire registration process online now. First couple of years, everything was paper documents. You had to sign, you fill out, and send in. Now they register online. They build their teams online. We pull
rosters. So that's so much easier for them, too.
Yeah, so it makes it a lot more simple for them to manage their teams.
And it's probably easier for you guys, too, now to deal with all that paperwork.
We can take an iPad to the competition now, and we can look at waivers. We can look at rosters. We can do everything we need right there. So, yeah, it's great.
I love that. Well, how do people reach out and sign up? What's the website, and how do they find out about these events?
Okay, well, they can find us at corporatechallengeatl.com or corporatechallengenetwork.com. Both those go to the same website. Our office number is 678-880-8536. And again, my name is Larry. And feel free to reach out to me if you have questions. We'd love to have as many companies as we can get because, you know, more the better. The more the merrier.
So last question before we wrap up here. Are you thinking about, like, sort of franchising this out a little bit or moving it to different states? Because I think this could be really helpful to any company anywhere, so just not just in Atlanta.
Yeah, we're actually doing that now. We just finished up San Diego. We ran that one, and we did San Diego a little different. We started that one out 9 days, 11 tournaments. We had 5 companies. A company called Teradata won it, and Sony Online Entertainment was the runner-up. We're looking at doing one in Phoenix that'll be last week in June, and that'll also be 9 days, 11 tournaments. And right now we've got about 5 companies, I think, signed up for that one already. So, you know, a couple more, and we're good to go there. And then we're touring with the idea of maybe in August looking at Austin. But, you know, my goal ultimately for the Corporate Challenge Network is to have 1,000 companies doing this thing every year.
Well,
however many cities it takes me to get there.
I could see it really cool with growing to 1,000 companies, and then you have it, and you're like, okay, well, here's the top companies from every state, and
that's
you got
right.
50 companies and a national. Yep. That'd be cool.
That's in the back of my mind.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. We always love having you on and getting to know how things are going.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
All right, well, this is Kevin Finn for all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.